Hi and welcome. You're listening to the X22 Report. My name is Dave and this is episode 3521BN. Today's date is December 11th, 2024 and the title of the episode is Countdown Continues, Deep State Preparing to Stop Trump at All Costs. Operators are standing by. DO back taxes, pandemic relief is now over. Along with hiring thousands of new agents and field officers, the IRS has kicked off 2024 by sending over 5 million pay-up letters to those who have unfiled tax returns or balances owed. Don't waive your rights and speak with them on your own. They are not your friends. Tax Network USA, a trusted tax relief firm, has saved over $1 billion in back taxes for their clients, and they can help you secure the best deal possible. Whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, they can help you. Whether it's business or personal taxes, even if you have the means to pay or you owe on a fixed income, they can help finally resolve your tax burdens once and for all. Call them at 1-800-958-1000 for a private free consultation or visit tnusa.com/x22 or click the link in the description. Let's get into the economic collapse, political and geopolitical news. Now, the deep state, the corrupt politicians, big tech fake news, the puppet masters, you can see the deep state players, they're doing whatever they possibly can to try to stop Trump at all costs. And you could see that they are now pushing a multi-level plan, and they're going to be continually pushing back. I mean, think about it. We have drones that are flying over New Jersey, over New York, that area. There's information now coming out that Iran is behind all of this, and the U.S. government, the deep state players, they have done absolutely nothing. Actually, the FBI was out there saying they had no idea where all this was coming from. It's almost like they wanted something to happen. And also, we have to remember, going back a little bit in time, since they're trying to point the finger at Iran right now, Biden said something very, very interesting, that if there is an assassination attempt and it's by Iran, it is an act of war. And we do have former Secret Service individuals out there saying that, yes, there's going to be another attempt on Trump's life. So you could see how this is all now being set up because, again, what are they doing? They are now pushing as hard as they possibly can to keep Trump out of office one way or another. And when he is in office, they're going to try to make sure that the economic system completely and utterly falls apart. And they're going to make sure that we enter war. And you could see that they're definitely pushing everything they possibly can. Now, I do believe Trump and the Patriots, they know this. They know that this is their plan. It's always been their plan. I think we've known that this is their plan. And I do believe Trump and the Patriots, they have operators on standby right now. And they're prepared and ready to take action when the deep state makes their move. And I do believe they're going to make their move, most likely either right before the inauguration or right after, depending on how all this plays out. Or it might be right before and after, depending if they can keep him from taking office. Now, once again, we could see that Dan Scavino, he's continuing the countdown. And when the last time we had a countdown, what happened? We had some type of false flag event. So I do believe at this point in time, when you really start to think about everything that is happening right now, because think about what Trump has been saying. He's been telling everyone that he's going to be implementing tariffs. He's going to be destroying the globalist system. He'll most likely in the end remove the central bank, which means the central bank, the globalists, they don't want this to happen. He's been talking about deporting all the illegals in this country. And we know there's a lot of terrorists, a lot of gang members, a lot of human traffickers, drug traffickers, cartel members. They don't want to be deported, which means if they see Trump starting the deportations, most likely these illegals in this country, they might push an event because, again, they're going to fight back. And then we move towards the economy where most likely, and I think Biden already said the quiet part out loud, that he's handing off a strong, robust economy, giving it to Trump, and hopefully he doesn't destroy it, which means their plan is to bring this system to its knees, most likely by crashing the stock market. Now, we've seen this before. They've tried many, many times when he was in office, going back to 2016. They tried it in 2019 by raising the Fed rate. Trump shut that down. They tried to bring down the market in the beginning of COVID. That didn't work. And I do believe this time around, whatever they're going to do, whatever they're going to try, it's not going to work the way they think it's going to work. I do believe Trump is going to use this as leverage because, once again, this time around, the people are awake. The people are thinking logically. The people voted for Trump. The majority of the people, the popular vote, voted for Trump. And the people have given him a mandate. They are behind him in all of this. And I do believe with everything that we're seeing, everything that we're witnessing, this is going to wake up the other part of the people in this country, which is the D's. And they're going to start to realize and understand which is the party of peace, which is the party of war, which is the party of destruction, which is the party of building. And I think people are going to really start to wake up and see this. But again, I do believe Trump and the Patriots, they're prepared for all of this. And you could see that the deep state right now, they're panicking over his picks because this time around, his team is very, very strong. His team follows the rule of law. His team is going to investigate. His team is going to bring people to justice. His team is going to do things that we've never seen before because we have been brainwashed into thinking that the FBI never knows what's going on. The FBI can't figure out crimes unless they want to. The DOJ just can't prosecute people. They only prosecute those conservatives that they want to put away. I think we're going to see the rule of law. I think we're going to see justice. I think we're going to see these individuals do things that have never been done before. And I think the people of this country are going to be absolutely shocked. And I think this is why the deep state players are so panic right now. And they are now afraid. And this is why Schiff is out there saying he doesn't think a president should be talking about locking his opponents up. You mean the way they talked about locking Trump up or putting him behind bars with all these different indictments? They've been doing this since he came down the escalator. See, the people see through this now. People don't believe this. But you can see the deep state players, they're definitely fighting back. Now, we're going to be talking a lot more about this and a lot more about war a little bit later in this report. But first, let's start off with what's happening with Luigi Mangione, because it seems that the story gets stranger and stranger every single day. Again, we have pictures of this individual where his face is covered up, except for his eyes. The eyebrows just don't match. And when people are digging deeper and deeper into this individual's background, we're starting to make a lot of connections in all of this. Shadow of Ezra put this out and said Nancy Pelosi and her brother Thomas D'Alessandro III are connected to Luigi Mangione, the murder suspect in the death of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson, through his grandfather Nicholas Mangione. In a 1989 Washington Post article, D'Alessandro, the former mayor of Baltimore, defended Nicholas Mangione's reputation, calling him big-hearted despite investigations into human rights violations and regulatory shortcuts tied to his business practices. This becomes even more interesting because Nancy Pelosi made a suspicious trade the same day UnitedHealth had a cyber attack and the company she traded in was chosen to investigate the breach. Now, this is where it starts to get very, very interesting. As the police were taking him into the courthouse, he screamed out, "This is unjust. This is an insult to the intelligence of the American people." So, do you think he's being set up? It's starting to seem that way. Very, very interesting. And then we have Huey Jack. He put out a long thread, went through all the information, and grouped it together to make sense of what is happening. And this is how it starts. This is a long one, but stay with me. It's worth it. Let's start here. October 2023, the Department of Justice initiates a non-public antitrust investigation into UnitedHealth Group concerning potentially unlawful acquisitions. UnitedHealth executives, including CEO Brian Thompson and Chairman Stephen Hemsley, begin selling substantial amounts of company stock, totaling $101.5 million by February of 2024. January 1st, 2024, Vin Roberti, chairman of Roberti Global and a longtime political ally and fundraiser for Nancy Pelosi, is retained as a lobbyist by Palo Alto Networks, February 12, 2024. Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, purchased 50 call options in Palo Alto Networks, valued between $500,000 and $1 million. All random pieces currently, but they fit together soon, I promise. February 14th, 20 through the 20th of 2024, a ransom attack targets Change Healthcare, a subsidiary of United Health Group, compromising personal health information of 100 million individuals. February 16, 2024, Brian Thompson sells $15.1 million worth of United Health Group stock. Other United Health executives complete additional stock transactions during this time. Remember, at this point, the cyber attack is not public information. That is very, very interesting. February 20th, 2024, Palo Alto Networks experiences a 20% decline in stock after lowering its billing and revenue guidance for the fiscal year. February 21st, 2024, Paul Pelosi acquires an additional 20 call options in Palo Alto Networks, valued between $100,000 and $250,000. United Health Group publicly discloses the Change Healthcare breach. Still no public info on Palo Alto and United. Our favorite stock trader strikes again. February 26, 2024, the Pelosi family transactions in Palo Alto Networks are publicly disclosed. March 14, 2024, United Health Group publicly announces its collaboration with Palo Alto Networks in response to the cyber attack on Change Healthcare. Palo Alto Networks Unit 42 team and its attack service monitoring tools are deployed to enhance cybersecurity and restore operations. March 19, 2024, reports highlight Vin Roberti's lobbying role for Palo Alto Networks and his longstanding relationship with Nancy Pelosi. May 2024, the Hollywood, Florida Firefighters Pension Fund files a lawsuit against United Health executives, including Brian Thompson, alleging fraud and insider trading related to stock sales prior to the DOJ investigation becoming public. June 2024, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission implements new rules requiring companies to disclose material cybersecurity incidents within 4 business days. July 2024, a bipartisan group of U.S. senators agrees on proposed legislation to ban stock trading by members of Congress, aiming to address potential conflicts of interest. October 2024, Tim McKnight is appointed Chief Information Security Officer of United Health Group to enhance the company's cybersecurity measures following the breach. This is where Luigi starts to peek in. How do we know? November 22nd to the 23rd of 2024. Luigi Mangione likely boards a Greyhound bus in Atlanta, Georgia, to travel to New York City. The journey takes approximately 17 to 19 hours. November 24th to 2024, Luigi Mangione arrives in New York City via Greyhound bus from Atlanta, Georgia, 2 days before the public announcement of United Health Group's investor conference. November 26, 2024, United Health Group announces its annual investor conference scheduled for December 4th, 2024. December 4th, 2024, Brian Thompson, CEO of United Health Group, is fatally shot in New York City. His death is under investigation with no confirmation connection to the DOJ probe or insider trading allegation. Remember, Luigi boarded the bus 2 to 4 days prior to the public announcement of the conference. But why would Luigi care? And how is Luigi connected to Pelosi? Well, here's the background. Draw the conclusions you would like. The Mangione family connection. Luigi Mangione is part of the prominent Mangione family in Maryland, known for the real estate and healthcare ventures, including Lorient Health Services. Nicholas Mangione Sr., the founder of Lorient Health Services, is Luigi Mangione's grandfather, as confirmed through family connections involving Luigi's cousin, Nino Mangione. Both families are prominent in the same very small state. Political tenures of related figures. Thomas D'Alessandro III, Nancy Pelosi's brother, served as the 44th mayor of Baltimore from December 1967 to December of 1971. Nino Mangione, Luigi Mangione's cousin, elected to the Maryland House of Delegates in 2018 and began serving on January 9, 2019. The Mangione family is rich. They own resorts and country clubs around the state, but how did they get rich? The family founded and still owns a nursing home chain in the state. Lorient Health Services. Lorient Health Services website update, the About Lorient page. On Lorient Health Services website previously included a tribute to the founding Mangione family highlighting their role in establishing the organization in 1977. Recently, this page was updated to remove direct references to the Mangione family, focusing instead on the organization History Services and Community Impact. The exact date of this update is not currently known, but has been verified using the Wayback Machine for comparison. Are these nursing homes taking good care of their patients? Well, these guys are pretty darn slick. They run these nursing homes under shell companies that absorb all the lawsuits. So ask these people. Legal cases involving Lorraine Health Services. April 9, 2021, a class action lawsuit was filed against Lorraine Health Services following a data breach exposing sensitive information of approximately 47,000 patients. August 2021, Shanna Ward versus Lorraine Hartford. A medical malpractice case was filed November 2021. Hedwig Sliqua versus Lorraine Hartford. Another medical malpractice case was initiated, and it goes on and on and on. On Luigi's public profiles, before they were all white, he had listed Lorraine Health Services as a place he frequently volunteered. So he's seen the dirty work of the insurance companies firsthand, especially when his family owns the company trying to get the money from the insurance companies. So we have a CEO under the microscope for insider trading, a frequent suspicious stock trading senator, and a disgruntled rich kid that happened to be from the same area as the senator and owns a nursing home. Interesting. No hard facts, no accusation, but traceable lines. But how did Luigi know about the conference? He came prepared, unless this dude got all his gear in New York City after traveling there by bus with a fake ID. I asked ChatGPT for fun. This is what it said. Focus on option number 3. Theoretically, Luigi could have known about the United Health Group Investor Conference before its public announcement through various means, including, and I'm going to read number 3, lobbyist or industry insiders. Indirect connections. Luigi might have gained knowledge of the conference through industry insiders or lobbyists working with United Health Group. Lobbyists or consultants often have access to corporate timelines as part of their advocacy work. So that is very, very interesting. So did he actually do this, or was it somebody else? And they found someone that looks very, very similar to him, planted the information on him, and actually framed him for all of this. Maybe, maybe not. But this is very, very interesting in how all of this is playing out. And I'll add just one more thing to this. The FBI has been involved in the Luigi Mangione case, particularly in the investigation following the murder of Brian Thompson. That is very, very interesting. So it looks like the FBI is involved in this case. It's not just the New York police. And we can see how this information could have been easily planted on this individual. And this was done on purpose. Now, let's see how this all plays out. Again, you have to ask the question, why would this individual go to a McDonald's, show his face, have everything on him, didn't change his clothes, and just sat there until he was identified? Something doesn't make sense. And if the FBI is involved, you know something else is going on, which is very, very interesting. We'll have to see how this all plays out. But the other thing that's very interesting is we could see that, yeah, this is the criminal syndicate system, and this is how it is operated. And the criminals, they bail out themselves. I mean, just look at Hunter Biden, for example. Joe Biden pardoned him because they're worried that whatever they dig up, whatever they find, might come back to him and his brother, and not just his family, but others like Obama and Hillary Clinton. And the people of this country, they see through this. Roughly 2 in 10 Americans approve of Joe Biden's decision to pardon his son, Hunter. So the survey found that a relatively small share of Americans strongly or somewhat approve of the pardon. And when they look at this, they say, well, you did this because he's guilty of these crimes. Because, again, he went all the way back to 2014, which should tell you everything you need to know. Just like it should tell you everything you need to know what's going on at the border. And you could see that the deep state players, they are now putting certain things into place to make it very, very difficult for Trump as he comes into office. And you could see this all over the place with the staffers and the DOJ. You could see it with the unions. And now we have DHS Chief Alejandro Mayorkas. And again, everything leads to Mayorkas. Doesn't mean he's calling all the shots. I mean, yes, he's there calling the shots, but there are people above him who are directing him. So in the final weeks of Biden's administration, and think about how much they're doing right now, the Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, is announcing a jobs giveaway for newly arrived migrants with work permits. He announced a final rule from the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services that will allow millions of migrants, many of whom have been released into the U.S. interior by the Biden administration, to keep their work permits for up to 540 days when they seek a renewal. So the illegals previously could renew their work permits for 180 days. So now they extended it to 540. Well, think about that for a second. Why would they do that? And this rule will go into effect on January 13th, 2025. That should tell you everything you need to know. And the deep state players, they're doing whatever they possibly can to make it very, very tough for Trump. Now, once again, we know that this time around, the Trump nominees, once they're confirmed, they're going to be looking into all of these things. And they're going to start to see that, hey, they're not following the rule of law. Remember, when the deep state, when they're doing this, most of the time, they're just implementing these things. And they're telling you that, yes, we're allowed to do this. And of course, what happens? The DOJ backs them up and they say, yes, we're allowed to do this until there's lawsuits that are filed. This time around, when Trump brings in his team and they follow the rule of law and they investigate everything that they're doing, I have a very funny feeling they're going to figure out that these people, they didn't have the authority to do any of these things. And I do believe there will be Trump's team will be able to reverse these very, very easily. But let's see how this plays out. This is going to be very, very interesting. And the other thing that's really interesting was what's happening out in South Korea, because you have to remember out in South Korea, the president, Yoon, he tried to declare martial law so he wouldn't be impeached. He would stay in his power. He'd be a dictator. And what's very interesting, an OSINT defender put this out and said, according to South Korea's Yonhap News, the former South Korean Minister of Defense, Kim Jong-un, tried to commit suicide in the detention facility where he is being held. Kim played a role in the president's declaration of martial law and the subsequent events. So once again, they got caught, they were stopped, and he was trying to take the easy way out. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if we see that happen in this country, because again, once the investigations begin, once they start to look into all the treasonous crimes, once the information comes out about Epstein and the client list comes out, once the information comes out about Jay-Z, Diddy, and the rest, and there's video and pictures, I think we're going to see a lot of these individuals, they'll probably take the easy way out instead of standing trial. And I do believe we might see what is called a suicide week. But I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. But again, as investigations begin and information starts to pour out, and you have to remember Schiff, he already put it out there maybe a couple months ago, don't believe the videos and the pictures that you see, they might be AI driven. I do believe these people are going to panic like we've never seen before. And this is why you see all this happening right now. This is pure panic because they know when Trump gets into office and his nominees are confirmed, it's pretty much game over for all of them. And this is why I think what they're going to try to do is create as much chaos as possible. If they can't stop Trump from getting into office, which I don't believe they'll be able to do, I think they're going to try to create so much chaos with war and everything else where they're going to try to keep Trump so busy and the agency so busy that they won't have time to do anything else except concentrate on all the chaos and war. I think that's what they're really trying to do. And if they can actually get the war started, well, this would protect them in the long run. It's almost like when 9/11 happened, everyone forgot about the billions of dollars that went missing and Rumsfeld never had an answer for it. Everyone just forgot. I think that's what they're trying to do this time around. And you could see that they are continually sending money out to Ukraine. The White House now has announced $50 billion loan for Ukraine. I think Trump should just come in and say, listen, we want all of this repaid right now. So let's We want it all back. Bring it all back to the U.S. I wouldn't be surprised if he says, we need the payments right now. That should be very, very, once he, of course, negotiates peace, I think he's going to say, okay, let's start the repayments right now. We need the money to come back to the U.S. Oh, and by the way, here's the interest rate. And let's see how that all plays out. Now, the other thing that's very interesting is we could see at this point in time, Israel is now destroying the chemical weapons facilities in Syria. This is the chemical weapons that the terrorists used in Syria. Remember, the terrorists have been in Syria for a very long time. And it's just absolutely unbelievable that they had the ability to go right in, remove Assad, take over the entire country. And now Israel is coming in and they're destroying missiles. They're destroying air force, aircrafts and helicopters, Navy ships and submarines, all anti-aircraft systems. They're making it impossible for these terrorists to use any of this equipment whatsoever, which is very, very interesting. Plus, Russia no longer has to split up their troops and they no longer have to be in this part of the world, which actually relieves Russia of quite a bit, and they can concentrate everything in Ukraine. Now, again, if you look at it from the deep state perspective, Russia is removed from this area. Iran is pretty much left out in the cold. And I do believe the deep state players are probably trying to get Iran to do something in this area because, again, they lost their proxy. They were in Syria. The weapons and everything that was there is now destroyed. And what's very interesting about all this is that the Biden administration, they quietly extended sanctions waiver that will grant Iran access to roughly $10 billion from Iraq 2 days after Trump's Election Day victory. So this controversial waiver, which has been repeatedly extended by Secretary of State Blinken, despite strong opposition from congressional Republicans, allows the Iranian regime access to funds from Iraq in exchange for electricity purchases. So that is very, very interesting. So under the conditions of the waiver, Iran will receive nearly $10 billion being held in escrow accounts in Iraq that U.S. officials claim may only be used for humanitarian trade. However, the waiver extension allows the Iranian regime to transfer electricity payments to accounts in Oman, which can then be converted to other currencies for the Islamic Republic to purchase non-sanctioned products. Plus, they can take loans out on these funds where they never touch the funds, and they can use the funds that they loaned. They've done this before. Was this set up on purpose? Absolutely. And then the question is, who has been funding these terrorist organizations? Well, we've come to find out it was the deep state players. I think we knew that all along. But this is where it gets really, really interesting. Shadow of Ezra put this out and said, after rebels seized control and ousted Assad in Syria, pallets of cash were found in government buildings across Damascus. Each pallet was labeled with a QR code, which, when scanned, revealed an unexpected link to none other than the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. It makes you wonder, who is funding this overthrow? Well, I guess this now involves criminal activity with the Federal Reserve, doesn't it? So that's very, very interesting. Was the deep state, the central banks, were they set up? Is this the proof that is needed to show that the central bank system, the private central bank system, is involved in criminal activity, is involved in overthrowing governments? It's starting to seem that way. And the other thing that's very interesting is that the U.S. now is saying that Russia is set to fire a hypersonic missile at Ukraine. And they're saying that this could happen any day. Well, let's see how that plays out. This is going to be very, very interesting because we know what the deep state players want. They want some type of false flag. They want something to happen so they could start the war. And yes, they're going to push this very, very hard. I don't believe it's going to work, but you can see they're pushing it very, very hard in this country. Now, what's very interesting is we know that we had a Chinese spy balloon drift across the U.S. airspace, and Biden, he didn't do anything about it. Actually, it turns out that it really wasn't a China balloon. It was actually American. Did you know there's a cutting-edge study that reveals auto insurance fraud is on the rise, with stage accidents being more brazen and common than ever before? Unscrupulous actors are capitalizing on busy roadways to stage collisions and cash in on insurance payouts where the average American is the victim. These fraudsters will do anything from brake-checking cars to running into traffic purposely to get hit by a car in the hopes of getting an insurance payout. This is why I use today's sponsors, Dashcam X, to prevent myself from being the next victim of insurance fraud. It's an industry-leading dashcam that continuously records my driving 24/7 to help protect me with video evidence in case of an accident, vandalism, attempted carjacking, insurance fraud, and more. It's packed with safety features including 4K Ultra HD recording, night vision video, 24/7 motion detection with built-in sensors, and easy installation. Every car on the road needs one. This holiday season, you can get Car Vision X up to 50% off. That includes a 60-day satisfaction guarantee only at carvisionx.com. Once again, that's carvisionx.com. Don't miss out on the huge savings for this holiday season. Go to carvisionx.com and give the gift of safety this year, or just click the link in the description. But for all intents and purposes, let's say it's a Chinese balloon. Biden, he didn't do anything about it. He just let it sail across the United States, which is very, very interesting. Now, there are drones flying over New Jersey, avoiding radar detection, which shows that there's gaps in radar detection. And once again, why is this all happening? Every time planes go to investigate, all of a sudden the drones go dark and they disappear. And what's very interesting, and UAP James put this out and says, the FBI senior officials say Bureau doesn't know who's operating the New Jersey drones or whether they pose a risk of national security incident. We just don't know. We have no clue what's going on, which tells you they know exactly what's going on and they're allowing it to happen, or they're involved in all of this. Remember, the deep state players, what are they doing? They're pushing chaos. They're pushing war. They want a war. And you need to remember, Biden, going back a little bit in time, he said if Iran attempts an assassination attempt on Trump, it will be like an act of war. And today, what did we learn? Well, Congressman Jeff Van Drew said he has confirmed intel that Iran is behind the drone invasion. He said Iran launched a mothership and it's sitting off the coast of New York and New Jersey. And let's see, the U.S. government doesn't know about it. They don't know that there's a warship right outside of New York and New Jersey. Even if it's 10 miles, 50 miles, 20 miles, 30 miles, makes no difference. They don't realize that drones are being launched from this area. I mean, really think about this for a second. General Flynn responded to this and said, if this mothership story is true, send it to Davy Jones' locker room ASAP. How dare our government be aware of this and do nothing? Also, those who advocate shooting these drones down over civilian populated areas would be mistaken. The chances of killing innocent Americans are too high. These drones should never have been allowed to penetrate U.S. airspace, period. 20th of January can't get here soon enough. So the question is, if they have intel that they know that the mothership is out there, and if this is true, and they know the drones are coming from this ship, and the drones are, you know, penetrating our airspace, shouldn't the military, the National Guard, shouldn't they get involved somehow, some way? What happens if these drones were carrying bombs and they were dropping bombs on U.S. soil? So something doesn't make sense. And the reason it doesn't make sense, because it's the deep state players who are allowing this to happen. And basically, they're trying to point the finger at Iran. And what are they trying to do with all this? They're trying to start a war. And it looks like they're pushing this very, very hard. And they're hoping that something happens. They're hoping that maybe the National Guard shoots one down. They're hoping that one of these drones maybe bombs or does something in this country. But let's see how this all plays out. This is very, very interesting how this is happening. Or these drones might be used to do something during January 6th or the inauguration. Let's see how this all goes. But you could see something is definitely up. Now, the other thing that's very interesting, and we've said this from the very, very beginning, the deep state players, they have a multi-level plan to try to stop Trump. Remember, they know once Trump gets in, his nominees are confirmed. The people are behind him. They said, Trump, this is what we want you to do. We want you to bring these people to justice. We want you to close the borders. We want you to stop the wars. We want you to fix the economy. They know it's over for them. And this is why they're pushing this multi-level plan. And remember, just a couple of days ago, Peter Hortez, he came out and said, listen, we have something that might happen on January 21st, where there might be viruses that are released and Trump's going to have to handle this. I do believe they're waiting for the right moment, the right time, because again, once Trump's nominees are confirmed, you know they're going to make the case that these individuals, they're not qualified to take care of this, and they're going to try to create chaos in all of this. And what we've come to learn is that hundreds of vials containing live viruses have gone missing from a laboratory in Australia. So the Queensland Health Minister, Tim Nichols, announced that 323 samples of live viruses, including Hendra virus, Lysara virus, Hanta virus, went missing in 2021. So this breach, actually, they discovered the breach in August of 2023. So they don't know where any of these are since August of, actually going back to 2021, but it was discovered in August of 2023. Clandestine responded to this and said, bioweapons alert. Australia's government announced that hundreds of deadly virus samples are missing in what is described as a major historical breach of biosecurity protocols. Pathogen research is the greatest threat to humanity, and it absolutely is. Now, once again, let's see. We have terrorists in the country because of open borders. We have human traffickers, child traffickers, gangsters, other criminals. You think they're setting something up. You think they're going to push us. Now, once again, we need to remember, this is why they didn't want anyone to know about hydroxychloroquine, why they didn't want anyone to know about ivermectin. Because if you knew that these drugs took care of viruses, would any of this work? No, it wouldn't. People would stock up on hydroxychloroquines. People would stock up on ivermectin. People would take zinc. They would take all these different protocols and they would protect themselves against all of this. This is why they needed to keep it hidden from the people. But I think the people, they understand it. The people are hardened now, and the people are not going to fall for another plandemic. And this time around, I don't think it's going to work the way they think it's going to work, because what are people learning? The people are learning that COVID was one gigantic scandemic, plandemic, whatever you want to call it. And now a major new peer-reviewed study has confirmed that unvaccinated people can suffer from the harmful side effects of COVID mRNA vaccines by just being around people who have received the injections. The study finally confirms the existence of vaccine shedding, an issue previously shot down by health officials as a conspiracy. It's amazing. It's amazing how all these conspiracies are absolutely coming true. Dr. Simon Gottick put this out, and he's pointing to an article that says 99% of COVID deaths not primarily caused by the virus, CDC data shows. Really? So what was it from? Was it from the bioweapon? Was it from the treatment? He responded and said, we, the allegedly dangerous conspiracy theorists, were right from the start. The measures were deadly, not the common cold itself. This PSYOP was designed to condition the global population to what is yet to come. 15-minute cities, climate lockdowns, and carbon credit scores. Absolutely. Now, the other thing that is very, very interesting, we can see that Biden now is protecting the pharmaceutical companies. How do we know this? Tom Renz put this out and said, Biden has extended the emergency declaration for COVID-19 to extend liability protections for the deadly mRNA COVID vaccines. The Biden administration has extended the emergency declaration for COVID-19 through 2029 in an attempt to prevent liability for mRNA COVID vaccine manufacturers. It is very likely that Robert Kennedy Jr. will begin releasing information regarding the lack of safety and efficacy of these jabs, and so lawsuits would likely follow. This last-ditch effort attempt to save Big Pharma from liability for the chaos they sown in so many lives is likely to be accompanied by other legal maneuvering designed to limit justice. Ask yourself, does anyone still think COVID is an emergency? Absolutely not. There's only one reason he would do this. He's protecting Big Pharma. That's exactly what is happening. And we could see the deep state players, they are weaponizing corporations against we the people. I mean, we've seen this with the Twitter files. They took control pretty much of Twitter. They told Twitter who to censor. They're doing it to YouTube. They're doing it to Facebook. They're doing it to Instagram. They actually control the banking system. And they use the banking system to spy on the American people. And they use the banking system to make sure that none of their crimes are brought out into the open. For example, Joe Biden, Hunter Biden. Remember, where are all the suspicious reports? Where did they go? They were buried. And what's very interesting is that the House Judiciary GOP, they released a damning report on how the Biden's federal government weaponized the Bank Secrecy Act to spy on Americans. In this report released by the House Judiciary Committee and the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government, Republicans claim the federal government has transformed the Bank Secrecy Act into a tool for spying on Americans. The report alleges that federal law enforcement agencies under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, including the FBI, have turned financial institutions into de facto arms of the government, bypassing legal safeguards to obtain sensitive financial data. Using suspicious activity reports and currency transaction reports, federal agencies have accessed millions of financial records without probable cause or warrant. Documents uncovered by the committee show that in 2023, federal agencies ran over 3.3 million searches in FinCEN databases, equivalent to 9,000 warrantless searches per day. The investigation began after whistleblower testimony revealed that Bank of America voluntarily provided the FBI with a list of customers who made purchases in D.C. around January 6th of 2021. According to the report, federal law enforcement used broad search terms like MAGA and Trump and even flagged purchases of religious texts and firearms as potential markers of extremism. Absolutely unbelievable. And this is what a tyrannical government looks like. They spy on the people. They arrest their people. They put them away if they're telling them truth. If they censor them if they're trying to tell the truth. This is what a tyrannical government looks like. And I think it's becoming very, very clear to we the people that we are now controlled and ruled by a tyrannical government. I think that was the message that Trump wanted everyone to see. Look at the deep state. Look at their system. They are a tyrannical government. And we need to go back to the Declaration of Independence and we must throw off this tyrannical government, which the people have done. The people have spoken. They have given Trump a mandate. Take back the country from this tyrannical government. And this government is definitely tyrannical. Just look at what Chuck Schumer's doing. Chuck Schumer recently announced that one of his highest priorities is to confirm Joe Biden's nominees to the National Labor Relations Board before his party loses control of the Senate. He's slated to make good on that promise. And what is he doing? Well, if he secures another five-year term for NLRB Chair Lauren McFerrin, Biden nominees will control the labor board until at least August 2026. Union elites are begging Schumer to Trump-proof the NLRB because they fear Trump's appointees might focus on protecting individual workers' rights instead of giving union officials more power. Big labor has perpetrated the lie that politicians are only pro-worker if they comply with union demands. Trump erased that lie, winning re-election with unprecedented support from working-class Americans, including union members, while being relentlessly attacked by union officials. Even Teamsters union boss Sean O'Brien, who admitted that nearly two out of three Teamsters workers support Trump, refused to endorse him. And O'Brien has tried to spin himself as a Trump ally nonetheless. It's not working. The senator should reject Schumer's last-minute attempt to pack the NLRB and allow Trump to nominate a truly pro-worker advocate. And the senators, the Republican senators, should stop this. And you can see how the deep state players, how they're trying to put everything into position and how they're trying to stop Trump every step of the way. Now, the other thing that we've come to find out is that the information that was leaked out about Matt Gaetz, you know, the ethics report, it wasn't a hacker like they said. Actually, Representative Susan Wild, a top Democrat on the House Ethics Committee, she was the leaker of the information. She leaked the information. Why is she still on the committee? Think about all the rules that these people are breaking, all the crimes that they are committing. It's absolutely unbelievable. But you could see the deep state players, they are continually going after Trump's nominees because they know that these people that Trump is nominating, they can't allow them to be confirmed. And they're trying everything they possibly can to stop it. They just came out with another fake story about Pete Hegseth. Jesse Eisinger put this out and said, Hegseth has said that he got into West Point but didn't attend. We asked West Point Public Affairs, which told us twice on the record that he hadn't even applied there. We reached out. Hegseth Spox gave us his acceptance letter. We didn't publish a story. That's journalism. So this is very, very interesting. This individual reached out to West Point. West Point lied to him. The question is why? And that's what Sean Parnell asks. The real question and story here is why? Why did West Point lie to you? Because it seems the motivation was to hurt Pete's chance of becoming Secretary of Defense, which in turn could mean a military officer wanted to undermine a president-elect. And this, folks, is precisely why we need Pete. So this reporter should have said, well, wait a minute. I see that he has his acceptance letter. The reporter should have turned around and said, let me investigate why they're lying to me. What are they protecting? What are they trying to hide? And Pete Hegseth, he put this out on X. He said, we understand that the ProPublica, the left-wing hack group, is planning to publish a knowingly false report that I was not accepted to West Point in 1999. Here's my letter of acceptance signed by West Point Superintendent Lieutenant General Daniel Chrisman, U.S. Army. That whole story just completely and utterly fell apart. And you could see all these individuals who say that, oh, the conservatives, they're going to attack the LGBTQ group. Oh, the conservatives, they're looking to hurt people. Well, we always know it's the other side. It always turns out that all these people, they're saying that Trump is going to hurt us. The people that voted for Trump are going to hurt us. The people are going to riot. It always turns out that it's the other side. And Nancy Mace put this out and said, I was physically accosted at the Capitol tonight by a pro-trans man. One new brace for my wrist and some ice for my arm, and I'll heal just fine. The Capitol Police arrested the guy. Your trans violence and threats on my life will only make me double down. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. Well, it looks like there might have been a bomb in her mailbox. She said, I am heartsick right now. I was just informed that an innocent woman died today in an auto accident involving a member of the Rome Police Bomb Squad who was responding to the threat at my home. My prayers are with Tammy Picklesmeyer, her family, the officer who was injured, and the entire Rome Police Department. These violent political threats have fatal consequences. It's an undue strain on our law enforcement who must treat them seriously. The officer was responding to protect my life, and now a woman has lost her life because of this despicable act. The perpetrator of this crime has committed murder in our small community of Rome, Georgia. The police shouldn't have to respond to these threats, and there should not be death caused at their hands. I'm so thankful for everything the Rome Police Department does to protect our city and for putting their lives on the line to do it. I am sick to my stomach, but I'm also angry. This should have never happened, and I pray it never happens again. Absolutely. And you could see that these deep state players, these crazy people that are out there, they just won't stop. And remember, these individuals, I would say most of them are part of Antifa, part of trans Antifa. And these people, these are the people that you have to look out for. And these are the people that the deep state is going to use to create the chaos. But again, Trump definitely has the leverage. He has the upper hand because once again, if they use the illegals, if Antifa is out there creating chaos, this time around, Trump is not just going to sit back and do nothing. This time around, if we've come to find out it's illegals, well, it's an invasion and it's an attack, which means Trump is definitely going to use the Alien Act of 1798 and Tom Homan is going to use the military to round these people up. This time, it's going to be very, very different. And if they attempt an insurrection on the U.S. Capitol, maybe during January 6th or the inauguration, it's going to be very, very different this time around. Remember, what they're going to try to do, most likely, is they're going to try to use Antifa illegals, and they'll probably have people dressed up as Trump supporters, where they're actually going after Biden in the White House, and they're going to say that Trump directed this, and he's in charge of the insurrection. But this time around, it is not going to work, because we are on to them. Now, the other thing that we could see happening right now is that Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, he is now trying to keep the case alive. And according to court filings, Bragg's office is fiercely opposed to dismissing the case outright, but is open to pausing proceedings while Trump serves his second term as president. The 82-page legal brief, prosecutor's most detailed argument yet, stop short of recommending an explicit course of action, but outlines several ways to keep the case alive. Among them, delaying sentencing until Trump leaves office in 2029 or freezing the case while leaving the jury's guilty verdict intact. They're trying everything, just like Letitia James. She doesn't want to let the case go. I think the appeals court at this point in time should say, you know something? We looked at the case. There is no victim. Everyone was happy. You used a law that is never used for this. You made up a law, and the judge went along with this. Letitia James, the attorney general, went along with this. These individuals should be stripped of their law degree, and they should be thrown into prison. This is a crime that they have committed. Now, the other thing that's very interesting, and Kyle Becker put this out, is that Fulton County Superior Court has issued a default judgment against Fannie Willis for refusing to turn over records that could document her collusion with the J6 Committee and Special Counsel Jack Smith. The court order states, by finding the defendant in default, the court has effectively declared that she violated the Open Records Act. The court further orders the defendant to conduct a thorough search of her records for responsive materials within 5 business days of this order's entry. Within the same 5-day period, the defendant is ordered to provide the plaintiffs with copies of all responsive records that are not legally exempt or exempted from disclosure. If the defendant must or chooses to withhold any portion of a requested record, she is instructed to adhere to the procedures outlined in the ORA. However, the Fulton County DA claims that such records don't exist, potentially putting her at legal risk of perjury and obstruction of justice. The court makes it clear that it has substantive reason to believe Willis is withholding records. The defendant is further ordered to provide an explanation why such correspondence does not exist in defendant's records or why it is being withheld. However, if Willis does turn over the records, it could provide proof of criminal conspiracy. Oh, she's trapped. They're all trapped. This is very, very interesting. Now, the other thing that's really interesting, Rasmussen Reports put this out, and it's pointing to Adrian Fontes, the Secretary of State of Arizona. And we're looking at the election results, and we have the election total for Trump, for Kamala Harris, for Ruben Gallego, and Kerry Lake. How in the world did Ruben Gallego get more votes than Kamala Harris? Does that make any sense? Did Arizona really vote for Trump, vote for Mark Fincham, vote for Abe Hamadeh, but they decided, hey, you know what, Kerry, we just can't use you. And then Ruben Gallego got more votes than Kamala Harris. This seems completely impossible. I think this needs to be looked into. DC Drano responded to this and said, you know what's crazy? How Ruben Gallego got almost 100,000 more votes than Kamala in Arizona. You know what's crazier? The RNC lawyer who worked in Arizona during the election just got hired by Trump at the DOJ in the unit that oversees election integrity. Oh, that is going to be absolutely incredible. And you could see that the deep state players, they're panicking right now. Adam Schiff, He is out there letting everyone know that it's absolutely ridiculous that Trump is now saying that he's going after his opposition. He's saying a president-elect should not be doing that. But let's go back to 2018, 2019, 2024. Take a listen to what he said.
Donald Trump leaves office, the Justice Department may indict him.
Very strongly in favor of indicting the president when he is out of office.
I don't think the incoming president should be threatening his political opponents with jail time. That's not the kind of talk we should hear from a president in a democracy.
Oh, the tables have definitely turned. And we could see at this point in time, the deep state players, they are jumping ship right now. They're not even waiting to resign. Christopher Wray decided to resign his position. He'll stay on until Trump is sworn in. But he didn't want Trump to fire him. And what's very interesting is we could see certain senators like Amy Klobuchar, she is demanding that the FBI director Christopher Wray must be allowed to serve his 10-year term, his full 10-year term as FBI director, which ends in 2027. See, she has this wrong, and Ron DeSantis corrected her. The FBI director does not have a 10-year term, but a 10-year limit. The director serves at the pleasure of the president and can be removed for any reason or no reason at all. Trump has the right, and given the performance of the agency, a duty to replace Christopher Wray. Christopher Wray knows this. This is why he stepped down, because he knew that Trump was going to remove him, especially with Kash Patel coming in and being confirmed, which I do believe he will be confirmed. But Trump, he responded to the resignation of Christopher Wray, and he said the following: "The resignation of Christopher Wray is a great day for America, as it will end the weaponization of what has become known as the United States Department of Injustice. I just don't know what happened to him. We will now restore the rule of law for all Americans. Under the leadership of Christopher Wray, the FBI illegally raided my home without cause, worked diligently on illegally impeaching and indicting me, and has done everything else to interfere with the success and future of America. They have used their vast powers to threaten and destroy many innocent Americans, some of which will never be able to recover from what has been done to them. Kash Patel is the most qualified nominee to lead the FBI in the agency's history and is committed to helping ensure that law, order, and justice will be brought back to our country again and soon. As everyone knows, I have great respect for the rank and file of the FBI, and they have great respect for me. They want to see these changes every bit as much as I do. More importantly, the American people are demanding a strong but fair system of justice. We want our FBI back, and that will now happen. I look forward to Kash Patel's confirmation so that process of making the FBI great again can begin." Absolutely. And let's see how this plays out. Because we could see that a lot of these agencies, we need to remove the leadership. We need to remove the swamp creatures. Because just look at the Secret Service. Look at the investigation. Look at the task force that they put into place. Has there been any evidence or any information on the assassin that tried to assassinate him at the golf course? No. The task force has done absolutely nothing. You know what the task force is for? To delay and hide everything. That's what the FBI uses the task force for. And you could see the deep state players, they're panicking. Mark Elias, he is so scared right now that he is now calling Harmeet Dhillon a sycophant loyalist to the head of the Department of Civil Rights Division. He's so afraid of what is going to happen. These people are panicking like we've never seen before. And Trump, he put this truth out because I do believe Cash is going to declassify not just JFK, not just 9/11. I think he's going to declassify everything. And I think the people are going to demand an investigation. Because I think once this is made transparent, I think people are going to learn just how corrupt our government has been. Take a listen to what Cash says here.
Believed that the CIA killed Kennedy.
No. You're talking to a guy that's read the entire JFK file.
You've seen all the secret stuff?
I've seen all of that, and I've seen the 7 pages of the 9/11 report. I've seen it all.
You don't say that to people that you can't tell what you saw. Should the Kennedy stuff be released?
Yes.
Is there anything there that is like, is anybody alive?
The problem is, the things that we can't release have nothing to do with the questions you guys are asking. That's about as far as I can go on it. But like, the answers you guys want, you pretty much have them. There's very minimal stuff that can't be seen for things that you wouldn't even think are related to that.
Why can't we release them?
And you're thinking temporally, like, did it stop back then? Right? You know, the way intelligence works is you're always developing it. Where did I get that? Where did that go? Oh, hey, I found that guy 5 years ago. Let's go talk to him. Where does that get us? You know, it's a little bit bigger of a jigsaw puzzle. I mean, it's the same. Look, so the 7 pages of the 9/11 report, yes, overnight, that needs to come out. I'm telling you, that's got to go. And there will be some people that are pissed off.
And I do believe once this happens, it is game over for the deep state players. But don't forget, the deep state players, they know this. They're going to fight back with everything that they have. Now, the other thing that's very interesting is that Trump, he retruthed a chart of the U.S. presidents. And what's very interesting is down below, there's a picture of Trump twice. I mean, all the other presidents, it's just one. Even if they had two terms, Trump is after Obama, then it's Biden, then it's Trump. I wouldn't be surprised if later on Biden is replaced with Trump's face and he actually had three terms. Because once again, I think when we go back in history, we're going to learn that Trump was the commander in chief, because Biden, Obama, Hillary Clinton, Soros, and the rest, they overthrew the United States government. And the people, they are definitely behind Trump. They have voted for Trump to take back this country. They're behind him. And the majority say Trump has a clear mandate to enact his agenda. So when you look at the poll, and this is done by Rasmussen Reports, 55% of likely voters say yes, the election is a mandate for Trump to enact his policies. 32% said it is not. Another 13% are unsure. And when you break down the poll, 81% of Republicans and half of independents, 50%, believe the election was a mandate for Trump. 48% of Democrats believe it is not. And this is why I do believe that Trump is getting the rest of the D's on board, because we need the American people to see the true enemy. And we need the American people behind Trump when he does all these different things. And I think there's going to be things that people couldn't even dream of, where these people are going to be brought to justice. We're going to follow the rule of law. And some of these things are going to seem absolutely crazy. I mean, just go back to 2016. Remember when Trump said he wanted to build this wall? And a lot of people in this country, a lot of the fake news and the rest said, this is crazy talk. We're going to spend billions of dollars for a wall. We don't need a wall. Now, people don't think that's that crazy. Now people are looking at the board and go, you know something? We need that wall. And actually, the amount of money to build the wall is not that much. And actually, we'll secure our border. We spend a lot more to Ukraine. We're sending a lot more to Africa. We're sending a lot more to Syria. So the crazy talk back then doesn't seem so crazy anymore. This is when you wake the people up. This is when you get the people on board. This is when you get the people on your side. This is how you can push the mandate. He couldn't do it in 2016. He fought an uphill battle just to get the wall, just to get the money. Actually, he had to take it from the military. Now, I think things are going to be a lot easier. And Dan Scavino, he is continuing the countdown. We are at 41 days right now. And Trump, he put this truth out and he says, America is going to start building monuments to our great heroes and heroines again. And I do believe that we're going to be building monuments to those people that actually sacrificed their reputations during the information war, during this war against the deep state players. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised of which statues are built, because these people said, you know something, I don't care about my reputation. I don't care what Trump says about me. I'm going to work with him to take back this country. And sometimes they had to do things that normal people wouldn't do. And remember, the only thing that it hurt was their reputation, but I think that's going to be solved later on. I mean, think about our founding fathers. When they were standing up for freedom and they wanted to take the country, they fought with blood. They fought with their lives. Very, very different. But when you look at the timestamp of all this, it brings us to post 1058. This is April 6, 2018. It says operators on standby. And I do believe that we're having a countdown right now. And the last time we saw a countdown, a false flag happened. And I do believe they're letting us know, yes, false flags are headed our way, but the operators to counter everything that they're trying to do, they're on standby. They're waiting. Why? Because the Patriots are in control. Listen, everyone, thanks a lot for listening. Be well, be safe, and especially be prepared. Thanks a lot.